have the risen Savior. Brethren and friends, today we are celebrating the blessed resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear a resounding amen?
Amen.
At least it sounds that you have had a good breakfast. It is now noontime, and there is still the second part of the program. But there is much for us to feast on, and one of which is from the Word of God. You see, the resurrection is an event that is celebrated like Christmas time. Many people all over the world are celebrating the greatest news that ever had taken place. And there are a good number of Filipinos, even in the Philippines. I know that most of us are Filipinos here. Not to set aside those who are not. We are happy to have you. We're all believers. We're all going to heaven. There is no Greek nor Jew. But today, there are those people, even in the Philippines, who would consider the resurrection of the Lord as, and I will say this in Tagalog, please translate it in English in your to your neighbor, Pasko ng Pagkabuhay. That is true. And then some Hispanics, they call it Domingo de Pascua. And there are those people who would give gifts during this time of the year. Just like my neighbor. They always give gifts to us, flowers and chocolates to my children. And for the believers of the Lord, we look at the resurrection as God's precious gift. It is the completion of the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. It is the blessed hope all the way from Christmas to Good Friday to the Resurrection Sunday. And consequently, it has transformed history and many lives. And that is just the reality of it all. So this morning, I submit to you two proofs that the resurrection had taken place. Number one is the scriptures. We see that the doctrine of the resurrection is all over the scriptures. I'm going to do it backwards. If you're going to look at your New Testament, going from the very back, you'd see the resurrection in the book of Revelations. Going back to the book of Jude, 1st, 2nd John of the New Testament, 1st Peter, the book of James, the book of Hebrews, the book of 1st and 2nd Timothy, the Thessalonians, for sure, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the book of Romans, the book of Acts, and the gospel books, John, Luke, Mark, and Matthew. And that's not only it, even the Old Testament, it is there. Take a look at the book of Hosea, the book of Daniel, the book of Isaiah, the book of Job, and even Genesis. It is all there because the resurrection is right here. The proof is right here in the scriptures. Take, for example, the account of Job. And Bible scholars consider Job to be older than Abraham. And in addition to that, if we consider, and it is, Bible scholars say, and I agree with it, that Job is the writer of the book of Job. And that if that is the case, then the concept or the doctrine of resurrection is there even before Genesis chapter 11, because Genesis 12 is the story of Abraham, where Abraham also believed, and the Lord Jesus and God had given him the revelation of the resurrection in Genesis chapter 22. So you see, we have traveled from Revelation all the way back to Genesis, and it's all there. And it's not only at Genesis 22. We can go back to Genesis 5, where the story of Enoch, he did not experience physical death, but translated, transformed into heaven. You know, the book of Job tells us at least two wonderful truths about the concept or the doctrines of the resurrection. In Job chapter 14, And in Job chapter 19, we see that. And when we see repetition in the Bible, it means very important. And it is very important because the truth of the resurrection is an integral part of our faith as believers. Amen to that? Amen. That is why Apostle Paul says, what a pity among men if there is no resurrection because we have no hope. But there is hope in Christ. There is hope in Christ because there is the story of resurrection. Now in Job chapter 14, it tells us, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait till my change come. That's what Job says. And secondly, he says, for I know my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth, and after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eye shall behold, and not another, how my heart yearns within me, because my Redeemer lives. That is the revelation of God through Job. But you see, in relation to this, it is not only that the book of the Bible tells us about the redemption in Christ, that the Redeemer lives. It is also the statement of the Lord Jesus Christ, and many times, at least 5 times, in the gospel books when he mentioned and he prophesied about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And at one point in time, in John chapter 11, verse 25, this is his declaration and claim for himself. He says, I am the resurrection. That's what he says. But you know what? The sad news is that even many scholars, very learned, very smart, well-oriented, well-read, even teachers of religion, they do not believe about the truth of the resurrection. Isn't that sad? But if it is that the resurrection is not happened, why are we here today? Why did you come here today? We all of us are here today because there is resurrection. That is why the whole world knows about that. Of course, there are those who would deny it. But denying the resurrection doesn't mean it didn't happen. Number two proofs is the proof of evidence. First of all, if you're going to look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, at verse 47. At that point in time, what was left behind at Calvary were three empty crosses. Let's consider the cross in the middle. There are those who would look at the cross in the middle as a sad and tragic event. They would say that Jesus Christ is dead. Now, in this day and time, there are those who think that Jesus Christ is dead, that there was no resurrection. And there are those who would say that Jesus Christ is always dead every Good Friday. But there was this man in Luke chapter 23, verse 47, the centurion, who had seen it differently. He sees it as a story that is something he could praise God for. Take a look at verse 47 on Luke chapter 23. This is the account of Luke. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God and said, certainly this was a righteous man. And indeed he was, and he still is, and will always be. Now, if you're going to look more closely, you will find a wooden cross stained with blood from a dead man. But the blood of the dead man provided forgiveness and eternal life, didn't he? If there is no shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. Since this is the conclusion of the matter, then the cross was not really empty, but full of promises. There was a Sunday school teacher who asked the children why Jesus Christ was buried in a borrowed tomb, because that's what the scriptures say. Now, one of the students answered and says, because Jesus Christ only needs it for 3 days. But you know what? It is a cute story. But beyond that, the reason why Jesus Christ rose on the third day is, you go back to the book of Isaiah chapter 53 verse 9, it is the fulfillment of the Holy Scriptures. Nothing more and nothing less. And lo and behold, as the scripture says in Luke chapter 24, the angel says, why are you seeking living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is alive. But there is still another question to be asked this morning. Take a look at the tomb. Was the tomb really empty? That is also the question. Absolutely not. Of course, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is no longer there, but the tomb is full of promises, because it tells us greater proofs that the resurrection has taken place. If you would open to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again, and looking at verse 6, and it has the cross reference in Acts chapter 1 verse 3, where it says that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead and have appeared to more than what? 500 people in the period of more than 40 days. And during this time, between the resurrection and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are at least 13 occasions in the Bible, the account of the New Testament, 13 appearances of the resurrected Jesus Christ. On that very first resurrection day, there were 5 times when he appeared to Mary, to the women, to Peter, to the man from Emmaus' disciple, and the disciples without Thomas. 5 times during that day. And then after that, a week after, another 5 times. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared to the disciples, this time with Thomas. And then the 7 disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. And then to the 500 brethren, as recorded in Corinthians. And then the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, Apostle James. And to the followers of that day, at the account of Luke in Acts chapter 1, verse 3 to verse 12. Moreover, after the ascension, he appeared again. He appeared to Stephen. He appeared to Apostle Paul. And he appeared to Apostle John. The amazing thing is that it is beyond the appearance. His appearance transformed lives. Brethren and friends, the resurrection is powerful. It cannot make you neutral about it. It's either you believe it and be changed, because when you believe it, you're going to change. If there is no change, it means you did not believe it. That is the reality. Take, for example, the account of Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and chapter 7. It did not only transform his life, he gave his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Take a look at the disciples. Majority of the disciples were martyred for the cause of Christ. They died for the Lord Jesus Christ. And on Acts chapter 12, even the Apostle James, he was put to death by the sword by King Herod. And how about Apostle Peter? This is the guy who denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. But because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was transformed to a different man. A great worker of the Lord he was after that. And history tells us that he was crucified not upwards, but upside down. Why? Because he believes and he gave his life for the risen Lord. But how about Apostle Paul? His name used to be Saul. The guy who is a terrorist coming from the city of Tarsus. And then he met the Lord Jesus Christ at Damascus. And after that he changed. And he gave his life. And history tells us that he also died crucified upside down. But before that had taken place, from a terrorist, from someone who would persecute the church, from someone who would say, yes, stoned to death, this deacon Peter, he was there. He was a criminal. And what had happened to him? He is the greatest missionary ever. The great evangelist and apologist of what? Apologist of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was one of his great theses. History tells us there are many more believers then and now who had given their life, their time, their money, their energy, their voices in singing, and not only that, they give their very own life. Some of those were fed to the lions. Some of those were burnt to death. But they were not afraid to do it because they believe Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And transformation is still happening today and will continue to happen because it is an unstoppable phenomenon. Whether you want to get how many people you want, you cannot stop because resurrection will always transform. Your presence today, your faith in Christ, your Christian service, your spiritual growth, your spiritual struggles and victories are strong evidences that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ had taken place in your life and in my life. Brethren and friends, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is real. Yes, it is true that there are those who don't believe about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it doesn't mean it didn't happen, and it doesn't mean they were right. If we're going to use this, if they're going to look at the story, the history books, if they're going to see the people in this room, they will be proven wrong. Because the resurrection is true. He is the resurrection as he claims to be. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ does not depend on the approval of man in order for it to be real. The Word of God says so. Jesus Christ says so. The transfer lives of people says so, and that settles it. Let us rejoice because our Savior is alive. Let's celebrate because our worship is not empty and to be pitied by men because of the risen Savior. But there is a but. I am not sure if everybody in the congregation possesses the promised resurrection. I would like to give an invitation to everyone here today. Before the choir render the second part, I believe it is good to take a moment of soul searching. Therefore, if I may, would the congregation bow their heads as I extend an invitation to you. First of all, let me address those who are already believers in the Lord. As we celebrate the Resurrection Sunday, the question are this. Are you willing to be more aggressive in your Christian life? That you would like to come out from your comfort zone to take the extra step of faith? You desire to share the gospel even more. You want to tell the hope of the resurrection story to your family, to your classmates, to your friends, to your office mates. That you want to spend qualitative time in God's word and in prayer. That you even want to join a small group or cell group. That you wish and prayerfully want to participate more in the church ministries and functions. Is this your desire this morning, brethren? I ask that you please raise your hands so that we could pray with you and thank God with you. Is this your desire this morning? Thank you, brother. Please put your hands down. Thank you, sister. Thank you so much. Thank you. Bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God knows your heart. God bless you. It is high time that you and I not only believe, but be part of the Resurrection Sunday. Now, secondly, may I talk to those who may have been away from God or have gone cold in their spiritual life. You have been idle in your Christian life, but this time you want revival to take place in your life. You want God to be your leader, the master of your life. If this is your desire this morning, brethren, please raise your hand. God bless you. 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 The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. But the promise, although it is offered to everyone, it is not automatically given to everyone. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In order for you to have the salvation that is only found in Christ and to be part of the resurrection story, you need to ask for it. You need to take it. You need to accept it. So this morning I ask if there is anyone here today that you want to be part of the resurrection story, please raise your hand. Now is your time to raise that hand of yours. Please raise your hand a little bit higher so that I can see you. The Lord knows your heart. So I ask for the last time, if you want to be part of the resurrection story, you want to have a life that is everlasting. For the last time, I ask that you would please raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. The Lord knows your heart. Now, for those of you who want to enter into personal relationship with God and to possess eternal life and the promised resurrection, this is what you need to do. You are to admit that you are a sinner, as the Bible says. The Bible also requires that you confess of your sin and ask God's forgiveness. You need to believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, that he was buried, he shed his precious blood for you, and that on the third day he resurrected from the grave, so that you may have eternal life after death. And finally, you need to invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart and make him to be the Savior and Master of your life. So to those of you who have raised your hand, please say this prayer with me. There may be someone who were not able to raise their hand, but have the desire to have personal relationship with Christ, and you want to have eternal life so full and free. My encouragement to you is to pray along this simple prayer. Allow me to read it, to say it for you and to pray for you. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I am a sinner and I need of your forgiveness. Please forgive me. I believe that you died on the cross to pay for the penalty of my sin, that I may have eternal life, that I may take part of the resurrection story. Plus, help me to turn away from my sin and promise to follow you. I now invite you to come into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have prayed with me, praise God, congratulations to you. Your spiritual journey begins today. It is not going to be a bed of roses, but you'll never be disappointed. I wish to talk with you after the service. And I invite you, everyone, to have lunch with us today. Perhaps there is someone who would like to ask some questions. Please come, talk to our pastors, the leadership of the church, and we would love to have conversation with you. Otherwise, at this point, I would like to ask the choir to render the second part of their ministry this morning. God bless you all. Thank you.